opportunity doesn't come in a nice, pretty box. You know, it's an ugly box. It's got tape all over it. So I like to often think about that example that my friend likes to use. Opportunities don't come in a nice, pretty box. It's what you make of it.
Hello there and welcome back to the My Future Business Show. I hope you're doing really well. Thank you very much for joining us. Now, if you've been supporting the show for any length of time, I'd just like to take a second of pause to thank you so very much for that support, because it means makes all the difference knowing that the show is making a difference for you. Now, on today's show, I have the pleasure of welcoming author Kelvin Abrams. Welcome to the show, Kelvin.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Pleasure to have you here. Now, you and I were going to be talking about your latest book called Get Uncomfortable or Change Course, which focuses on helping new and aspiring entrepreneurs to be more successful. But before we do any of that, Kelvin, prior to the call, you and I talked about, I guess, the way the show unfolds. And normally we spend a bit of time learning a little bit about you. So let's start at the start. Where are you calling in from today?
I reside in basically Baltimore, Maryland, a small city called Glenelg, Maryland, but Baltimore, Maryland.
Has that been home forever or?
No, probably for about the last 20 years. I'm originally from New Jersey / New York, so I guess I'm a Jersey boy.
Ah, fantastic. Now, what do you love about the place?
About Maryland?
Yes, where you are right now.
Oh, man, blue crabs.
Blue crabs.
Blue crabs.
Oh, okay. Well, tell us a little bit more about that. Now, how do you go about getting that? Is that something you go and source yourself, or do you just buy them?
Oh, you just buy them.
Right.
I've tried crab fishing before, but it's very hard to go crab fishing. You have to be out there early in the morning, and you got to know what you're doing.
I remember going crab fishing many, many years ago, and they had the pots, I think they call them, and it was an interesting experience. My pop used to always tell me, don't get your fingers where you don't want to lose them.
Yeah, it hurts. I've been bit before. It hurts.
Well, there's a trick for young players is don't put your fingers in the wrong spot. Now, tell me a little bit about that. Now, what do you enjoy doing with yourself? Do you have any hobbies or things like that?
With three businesses, you know, it's very hard to have a lot of free time. But my hobbies basically include, I like working out. I own a small gym, so I like working out. Love cigars. I'm a cigar guy and bourbon guy. Haven't been golfing in years, but I love golf. I like to ride my bike.
Yep.
So I like to try to stay active and travel. I haven't traveled that often, as much as I'd like, I should say.
Yeah.
But I like to travel.
I can tell you do a fair bit at the moment. You know, you're out and about there doing book signings and all the rest of it. So how important is being busy for you?
It's very important. It's something that I basically have grown up with my entire life. I mean, I've worked my entire life and I've been busy and kept multiple jobs and full-time in college with multiple jobs. So I'm used to working hard. It's kind of just in my blood.
It is. Yeah, absolutely. I can tell that from all the information I can find out about you online. You're certainly into many different things. Now, I love pets. Now, I know that you have two Weimaraner. Is that?
Yes, I have two Weimaraners.
Oh, I did it right. I can't believe it.
Weimaraners. Yeah. Well, the technical way is Weimaraner, you know, but we here in America, we say Weimaraner, but it's technically Weimaraner.
Now, tell me a little bit about these wonderful animals. I know that you love them dearly. Why did you decide on this type of pet?
Oh, I can remember the exact day and exactly where I was. It was when I was in college at Rutgers University. I was coming out of a pizza store, and there was this cute girl holding a cute little puppy with blue eyes. And I asked her if I can pet the dog and asked her what type of dog it was. And she told me it was a Weimaraner puppy. And at that point, I just fell in love with the dog. So I just knew from that point, I guess that must have been, how old are you when you're in college? 21, 20, something like that. So yes. I knew at that point that it was going to be the dog that I get.
Are they easy to look after?
They're easy to look after. Short hair. Very active dog, so you have to have a lot of time to be with the dog. Friendly, very family oriented, very friendly.
Yep.
So, yeah, good breed.
Now, I love dogs, you know. They give you somebody to talk to when you need that, almost that shoulder to cry on. Do you find that about them?
Oh boy, do I. I've cried on my dogs many a night.
And you know this,
I talk to them all the time, and I look at them and talk to them. I swear they understand what I'm saying.
Oh, absolutely.
They kind of just look at me.
I absolutely love animals. Thank you so very much, because I think it gives you some great insight into the people behind them. Now, tell me a little bit about, do you have any childhood memories that you could share with us about growing up?
A lot of childhood memories. I would probably say, I guess one that really comes to mind is just hanging out with my friends. There are some really good friends down the road from us. excuse me, down the road from us. And basically, it was three of us, three of them, and we just kind of hung out a lot. We played together. We socialized. Our families were tight. So I guess my childhood memories is around them. I'm
Yes.
running up and down, playing, going to the local pool,
Love
climbing trees,
it.
riding
Yep.
bikes.
I love that sort of thing, because I often talk about this memory that I have, the rule was you weren't allowed back home until the street light came on.
Correct. Correct.
And I remember not going home specifically, because if I went home any earlier, I ended up getting chores. Was that the same for you?
Well, they would lock the door and leave a cooler of water and cups outside on the porch. So we can come into the porch, but we couldn't go in the house until it was time to go in the house.
Well, you're doing really well, Kelvin, because all I got was a hot water
Yeah, we
tap.
would sit on the porch out there when it got dark because we had to be home. So we would
Yeah.
sit on the porch with the light and we would just sit out there and have fun.
See, the world has changed quite a bit, hasn't it? Do you think
It
there's
sure
some
has.
do you still think there's some positive aspects to the world for young for kids growing up nowadays?
Oh, that's a very tough question. Especially as an employer having a difficult time finding employees. I should say good employees with
Yes,
work
sir.
ethic.
Yep.
I may
Hard to
have to
say.
plead the fifth on that one.
Ah, that's a fair call. Absolutely. Now, I've got a lot of people I look to in my life, Kelvin, and they're really inspirational for me for multiple reasons. Now, as an experienced business person, I know that there must be people around you that are inspiring for you.
Yes, there are several people that I have in my circle. I like to call my network or my circle of friends. So there are several people that I talk to, reach out to, and I like to get a lot of opinions on things before I do them. So whether it be purchasing something new, whether it be making an deciding another business, what direction to go with my business, I like to reach out to certain people that I trust that are business owners and that understand me.
Yeah, thank you very much for sharing. Now, do you like reading? Do you have time for reading, given that you're an author?
I do. There's a few books that I've recently read. One is David Goggins. I read both of his
Oh,
books. I really like that guy,
me
David
too.
Goggins, man.
Yep.
That guy's amazing.
Yep. It's funny you should say that, because every day that I go into our little home gym, I often say to myself, I have that battle, because a lot of this is about mindset and, that
It is.
morning battle going from I'm going to do this, no problems. And as soon as you start working out, Kelvin, you're saying to yourself, nah. And the first, the only, the only thing I say to myself is Goggins. And then I think, if you're going to be weak, you're going to be weak, So
Right.
tell me a little bit about mindset and how important it is for you.
Yeah, well, there are a lot of times, speaking of Goggins, there are a lot of times I say his phrase, which is taking souls. I say that to myself every day a lot. Just
Stay
because
hard.
taking souls, because it's like you have to have a tough mindset, you have to be relentless. You have to walk in the dark when there's no light.
Yep.
You have to walk in faith. And so it's a daily struggle. So that's why reading both of his books were very inspirational, especially knowing and hearing what he went through,
Yep.
and what he's going through now. For what reason, I don't know, but he's going through it now.
Yeah,
So 100
wow.
mile marathons, good for him.
Now tell me a little bit. I know that, we can talk about the, I guess, the foundation of faith and having a strong mindset, but what do you do on days where it is a bit of a struggle for you personally? Do you have those days?
I do. And a lot of times I will turn and look out the window, and I'll listen into some music. So a lot of times I'll listen to like inspirational music, not necessarily like gospel or religious music, but just inspirational music. A few of them are like Kurt Franklin I'll listen to,
Love
and a few other songs that just kind of put me in a better mood, better mindset. And if that doesn't work, then what I'll do is I'll listen to an audio book. And so I have audiobooks that I'll listen to, motivational speakers that I'll listen to, and just kind of relax that way, looking out the window.
Yeah, I love it. Now, are you an early riser?
I have to be, but throughout the night I'm an early riser. I don't get any more than about 5 hours of sleep a night, and I toss and turn, but I'm up usually every day about 5:30.
I've found that as I get older, Kelvin, that I need less sleep. Have you found that?
I need more sleep because I don't sleep enough.
Hey, so what, you're up at around 5?
So I go to bed about 10, 10:30. I start rolling over about 1:30, 2:30, roll over about 3:30, 4 o'clock. And so finally I get out of bed about 5 o'clock, but I've probably been up since about 2 o'clock tossing and turning.
It's a very interesting conversation to have because I think about this idea of sleep debt. Do you think that's a real thing? And do you ever crash and actually catch up on your sleep?
Oh boy, do I think it's a real thing? It's an absolute real thing.
Yep.
And yes, there are days where I just can't take it and I lay on the floor with my dogs, one dog on one side of me, the other dog on the other side of me, and I'm laying on my back and I'm out.
You
And
are
I
out
sleep
like
for
a
about an
lot.
hour just to recharge the battery.
I love this call. Thank you so very much. Now, I know given that you own three businesses, which we're about to shift gears and talk about, do you find that it's important to actually just have some relaxation time for yourself?
That's what I struggle with every day. But yes,
Right.
it is extremely important, but I struggle with that every single day because the mind just doesn't stop for
Doesn't
me. It just keeps
stop.
going.
Yeah, because there's a lot of startup entrepreneurs and aspiring business owners and authors out there listening to the show, and you're walking the path before many of them. Now, I wonder, given that that's the case, is there one a bit of sage advice that you could share with the listeners? About, looking after yourself, how to run a business, and what's the one key thing you'd ask them to focus on first?
Oh boy, I would probably say focus on the reality of truly walking alone. You have family, friends, business advisors, etc., significant others that'll be with you, but truly focus on walking this path alone because many days you are alone. The decision is made upon only you. You can ask other people's advice and they'll give you all the advice in the world, but at the end of the day, you have to sign that check. You have to sign that dotted line. So my advice would be aware, well aware of the fact that you are alone in this and that it takes strength beyond strength to survive.
Absolutely. That's great feedback. Thank you so very much. Now, I always talk about my first entrepreneurial experience being washing cars. What was yours? Can you recall it?
Absolutely. We used to rake leaves in the neighborhood, walk
Ha.
around with a shovel and shovel snow. So yes,
Do you
and paper
think
route.
that being an entrepreneur is something that we're born with, or do you think you can learn it? Especially if you were, say, an employee. Can you go from one lifestyle to another, do you think?
I think you can, but I think truly a true entrepreneur, I believe, is born. Anyone can be an entrepreneur. It's very hard. Anyone can do it, but I think the true entrepreneur is born. And when I say that is, as you already know, first year of business, 90% of businesses fail. And I don't want to say they fail because they're not true entrepreneurs. No, but what I'd like to say is that true entrepreneurs are born and they sacrifice and do the things that others won't. Entrepreneurs are made every single day. You got Uber, you got Grubhub. Everybody's an entrepreneur doing Uber and Grubhub. There's a difference between being an entrepreneur and running your own business.
Absolutely. Now, I wonder, it doesn't matter what it is, what's your educational and professional background?
I have a college degree from Rutgers University.
Fantastic. Thank you very much for sharing. Now, I'm always on the lookout, Kelvin, for good ideas. Where do you get your best ideas from?
In the middle of the night when I can't sleep, they
Why
usually wake me up.
am I not surprised about
They usually
that?
wake me up. And an example would be, a funny example would be, is during the pandemic, everybody was struggling during the pandemic. And so one night I just woke up. And bear with me here for a moment. One of my
Absolutely.
businesses is a doggy daycare business, and so we do temperament test evaluations. And over the years, I end up going like, dogs meet each other butt to butt. And so I kind of take my arms and I go butt to butt. And so one night during the pandemic, I couldn't sleep, and I just woke up and something said sniffing ass in my head. And I woke up and I thought about it, and I'm like, sniffing ass. And I kind of thought about it, and so I reached out to a friend of mine, and I'm like, I came up with this weird concept of a such and such. And so boom, there it is. And that was another business started, a t-shirt business. I got one on today here.
I
I'm not sure
love
if you can see it. Sniffing ass t-shirt.
I
So
love it.
the important thing was how to spell it. And so that's how we kind of spelled it this way here. so that people can kind of get the idea that it's all dog related. And so that's a funny story I like to tell people in the bar, is because they're like, where did you come up with that? I'm like, it's not dirty, it's dog related.
Yes, it's a behavior. That's true. And most right. Certainly.
That's how my ideas come. They usually come to me in the middle of the night. I can be driving down the road. Ooh, something pops up in my head and I just write it down as I'm driving down the road.
As a multiple business owner, somebody who's very busy, very skilled and experienced, what's one thing that you think you do the best? One thing.
I'm good under pressure.
Good under pressure.
I'm good under pressure. I'm calm under pressure.
Now, let's shift gears and tell me about the different businesses that you own and how was it that you got to be in this position? I think retrospectively, looking back, you may even be wondering, wow, it's all come to pass. Tell us a little bit about your journey.
Sure. I started with the doggy daycare business, Tiki's Playhouse. I'm a big New York Giants fan, so all my dogs are named after Giants players. And so Tiki's of Playhouse course. Was named after a Giants player.
Yep.
So I've been in business at Tiki's Playhouse 15 years, doggy daycare boarding. And then throughout about 10 years ago, we were doing grooming and I kind of got tired of dealing with the groomers. It was a pain in the neck to deal with them.
Yep.
So I decided we needed to do something different. And so I did about a year and a half research and figured out that coffee and dogs were a good mix. At that point in time, coffee, I think, was like the number two traded commodity next to oil. Oil was number one.
Yep.
So I kind of said dogs, coffee, you know, the dog. Yeah, the dog business is a $56 billion industry. So I kind of put the two together and came up with K9 and Coffee. But prior to that, I purchased a gym, American Fitness Express. And that was just because it was directly across the street from Tiki's Playhouse. The landlord owned both properties. And basically, the owner had to go. And so I kind of talked to the landlord and positioned myself to put myself in a place where I can negotiate a better longer term lease with Tiki's Playhouse if I took on the gym, because that's where I work out and shower. So
yep.
I wanted to keep the gym. So I kind of acquired the gym that way. It wasn't like I set out to do a gym, but it was one of those things where, and it's so true, you have to be ready when opportunity knocks. Opportunity knocks, and it knocks every day. It's just a matter of if you hear it. And so this was a knock that came and I was ready and I just took full advantage of the opportunity. And so that's how I got the gym. But the coffee shop was something that I actually came about and created.
Yeah, that is so relevant, you know, this having to be ready to take advantage of opportunity, because it never presents itself at the right time, does it?
It sure doesn't. I have a really good friend of mine that always likes to give an example of a box. You know, and he always explains that, you know, opportunity doesn't come in a nice, pretty box. You know, it's an ugly box. It's got tape all over it.
Yep.
It's what you make of it. So I like to often think about that example that my friend likes to use. Opportunities don't come in a nice, pretty box. It's what you make of it.
Absolutely. Great feedback. Now, tell us a little bit about your mantra, learn, earn, and return.
Oh, that's awesome. So I can't remember where, I'm not the one who created it or came up with
it. That's great. I
remember
it.
Reading it or listening to it somewhere. And then so it kind of stuck with me. This was a couple of years ago.
Yep.
And so I actually have it on my wall, learn, earn, return. And so what I want to do is I found a few years ago, you know, during my business and so forth, let me back up. I knew I wanted to write a book when I was 18 years of age, but I just didn't know what it was. And a few years ago, it dawned on me that I wanted to give back. I wanted to help young entrepreneurs through the same struggles that I've went through. And so that's where the learn, earn, return came about. And so I put it on my wall, and it was a few years ago, like I said. And so every year I kind of progressed to work towards my goal, which was learn, earn, return. And what that is basically is learn about the business, earn money, earn revenue, and return. And my return, the beginning of my return, is writing this book, helping other entrepreneurs don't do the mistakes that I have done, and showing other entrepreneurs what it takes, the dedication, the tenacity. When you go to the bank, who you should bring to the bank when you sit at the table, your negotiation, good landlord, you know, things like that. So learn, earn, return is something that I want to focus on moving forward and giving back to my community and people like myself. I didn't grow up with a traditional BA or a master's degree in business. I didn't have the money to start the business. So I sold my car, I sold my 401k, I sold my investments. So I started the business really on a shoestring budget. And I want to let others know that they can do it as well, because I'm sure there are a lot of people out there that don't think they can go to college because they don't have money. They don't think they can start a business because they don't have money.
Yep.
So I just want to help people, let them know that there are ways that you can start a business without any money.
You know, this is a great, you know, I guess you'd call it, for lack of better terms, the rags to riches story. Would you agree with that?
Only if I were rich.
Well, I'm thinking you're probably doing a lot better than many others around you, and it's a real credit to you. Now, I'm wondering, I know that you're doing a lot of book signing, and that's fantastic. What's it like to meet people that have read your book and are inspired by the work you're doing?
Well, it's overwhelming. It's very overwhelming because I put myself out there in a book, and I was very honest with the book, and it's nerve-wracking. That's the word I'm trying to say. It's so nerve-wracking whenever I sign a book. And when someone asks me to sign a book, I literally start to shake inside. My hand starts to shake because I don't want to mess up on their book. I just have these jitters that are inside of me. and so it's very intimidating, intimidating to say, and very humbling.
Well, I love the fact that what sticks out about you, Kelvin, is that you're down to earth, you're human, you're here struggling through life with the rest of us, you know, and that really stands out for me because it inspires people on a, I guess, a very foundational level. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely. That's why in my book, I talk about how hard it is. And I talk about the many vacations you're going to give up, the family, the friends, the birthday parties, the funerals, the weddings, you're going to give it all up.
It's
very hard and it's very tough. So yes, I would say so completely.
So tell us how long the book actually took you to write. Now, just for everybody, just in case you missed it earlier, I talked about the title. It's called Get Uncomfortable or Change Course. So let's start at the start. Where'd you come up with that wonderful name?
Thank you very much. I appreciate that. Again, it came to me one night when I was sleeping.
So of course it did.
So the Get Uncomfortable or Change Course came to me in the middle of the night, of course. And I really wanted to punch the viewer in the mouth when they picked up the book to say, what is this book all about?
Yeah,
I really
it does
wanted
that.
To just like, pow, punch them in the mouth. And so that's where I came up with Get Uncomfortable or Change Course, understanding what it takes to be an entrepreneur. So it was designed from cover to the back to just punch the viewer in the face.
Every it does
page
that.
They turn, just punch them in the face with reality. So basically it's a wake up call. So that's where I came up with the title, Get Uncomfortable or Change Course, Find Another Way.
Did a couple of things. How long did it take you to write and did you enjoy the process?
I would say I've been writing a book since I was 18 years of age because I knew I was going to write a book at that point. I just didn't know what I was going to write about.
Yep.
But the actual process took me about a year and a half. I enjoyed every moment of it. I took time in the middle of the night. I would wake up and scribble things down, put my thoughts together. So it was about a year and a half and I enjoyed it.
So what did you learn about yourself as you went through the process? What were the things that stood out for you?
I don't give myself enough credit. Going through the book and going through everything I talk about in the book, I realized that I have good sound advice to offer, and I just don't give myself a lot of credit. I'm just not the type of person. I'd rather stay humble, and I'm not a know-it-all. I don't want to be considered a know-it-all. But going through the process of the book and even after the book has been published and talking to people, I'm realizing that there are a lot of people that actually respect me as a business owner.
Absolutely.
And also appreciate me as a business owner. So that's very humbling.
Now, when people are wanting to get a copy of your book, and they certainly will have an opportunity to do that following this call, break down for them what they're likely to find in the book, how it's structured.
So the book is structured where it starts off in the beginning, like growing up a little bit in my life and going through college in my life, just a couple of chapters. And then it kind of goes right into the process of how I started the business, like going to SCORE, meeting with the SCORE representative, going through the process of writing my business plan, talking to the banker, what happened after talking to the bank. It goes through, I started my business in the beginning of 2008 when Obama was elected. And of course, you know, the housing market
tough
crashed
year.
At that
yep.
time. So that was a very, very tough year. So I go through that process. I go through the process of the pandemic. And then the book just basically ends with after the pandemic and just kind of what it takes to be an entrepreneur. And then at the end of each chapter, there's exercises and questions that are geared for the reader to think and write. And we came up with a workbook. And there, so now we have a Get Uncomfortable or Change Course workbook.
Yeah, great news. I'm wondering, everything seems to be quite cyclical. Do you find that struggles in business happen that way? And is that sort of referenced in the book at all?
Yes, it is. And struggles do happen. I've talked to, I can't tell you how many entrepreneurs, mm-hmm. business owners that I've encountered in 15 years in my business. And every single one of them, it doesn't matter if the guy owned 45 Pizza Hut chains, mm-hmm. or if the guy owned 8 restaurants. It didn't matter. They all say the same thing about the struggle, and the tenacity and the dedication and the commitment that it takes. And we all look the same. We all have bags under our eyes. Oh, yeah.
Yes, sir. Hey, do you have any plans going to write another book?
I'm in the process of writing a second book now. So this second book is going to be a little bit different. But yes, I'm in the process of writing a second book now.
Now, I know that you talked earlier about listening to books. Do you have different formats for your book, or do you prefer sort of the hard sort of cover?
I usually get the hard covers when I buy books. Lately here, since I'm so busy, I don't have time to actually sit and thumb through a book. So I do an audio book now. So I do audio on my little tablet. If I'm having a cigar outside, I'm listening to my audio book. If I'm walking the dogs, I'm listening to my audio book. So that's kind of how I listen to books now, is through the audio, because it's just so much easier.
So much easier.
Me.
Yep. And I think a lot of people that want to read your book will ask you the same question. Are you providing it in different formats, such as audio book and the likes?
Yes, it will. It is currently on Apple. I think it's Apple Play, Google mm-hmm. Play, Kindle, Amazon, Barnes and Noble, and then you can also go to our book page, our website, which is KelvinAbrams.com, and you can buy the book directly off the website.
Now, tell me, you know, that moment in time we get to this point, and we know that we've come to the conclusion of the book writing process. How did it feel when you realized this is done? I've finished my first book. How did it feel?
Amazing is too little of a word. And actually seeing my book and putting my hands on the book, it's like a father seeing his son for the first time. And that's not taking any credit away from parents. It's like my baby. And yes. So it's like me touching my baby for the first time. And I actually framed it. So I have it framed.
Of course, I would do exactly the same thing. Now, clearly, there's going to be a lot of people on today's call, Kelvin, looking to get a copy of this wonderful book. Now, if you wouldn't mind, could you tell us where people once again can find it?
Sure. Currently, it's on Amazon. It's on Google Play, Apple Play, Kindle, Barnes & Noble. And then you can also go to my website, which is www.kelvinabrams.com.
Excellent. Thank you again, Kelvin. I've absolutely loved this call. Now, if you're on this call today and you're looking to get a copy of this wonderful book, what I'd suggest you do is drop over to the website that Kelvin's just mentioned and actually spend a bit of time on the website, because I know there's a lot of great content on there awaiting you. There's also obviously links to the book and the likes. And I think if you just typed in the name of that title, you're certainly going to find it. It doesn't matter where you look. Now, with all that being said, Kelvin, this has been a wonderful, excellent call. Thank you so very much for joining me on the show today.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.